keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now look at the verse again. You see these three words, I keep under. Those are very strong Greek verbs. And they're in the present tense, which means a continuous process. He does it over and over again. I am beating and bruising my body and making it my slave. That's a literal translation. I am beating and bruising my body and making it my slave, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The word means disqualified, unusable, put on the shelf. Now here's a very, very strong word. 2 Timothy 1 at verse 7. I want you to note this. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sophronismos, that's discipline. Sound mind does not translate it. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but He's given us the spirit of dunamis, power, of love, agape, of sophronismos, that's discipline. And the New American Standard Version translates it that way. That's what it is. Isn't that encouraging? God has not only given us power and love, but He's given us discipline. You worried about discipline? God wants you to be disciplined. That's one of His great gifts to His children. And that's what we're going to preach on. Thank you for coming today. I've preached quite a few sermons in my life, and I've preached most of them here in Fort Smith. I guess I've made references to discipline. I certainly believe in it. But as far as I know, I've never preached an entire sermon on discipline. But I felt strangely moved in my heart to do this. And so today I'm preaching on the subject, the power of a disciplined life. I do not believe that there is a greater need in the family of God today and in the lives of individual believers than that need of learning to discipline the life for our Lord Jesus Christ. If you learn to discipline your life, you're going to have a happy life to begin with, but more than that, you're going to have a useful life. God uses the disciplined life. If you live a confused life, a disorganized life, an undisciplined life, God will not use you. It may look like He's using you, but you bow out about the time He's really getting ready to perform His miracle in you. There's no greater tragedy in the world than to see a man who's gifted, a woman who's gifted, and to have wonderful opportunities like we have in our church and in many other ways, and yet a life that's unused and can't be used because it's never learned spiritual discipline. What do we mean when we speak of discipline? We mean the bringing of our rebellious lives then we're all rebellious. We mean the bringing of our rebellious lives under the authority of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, so that He can entrust to us the best He has and use us mightily. That's what we mean by discipline. That's what Jesus was talking about in the third beatitude when He said, "Blessed are the meek." That's the word discipline. Blessed are the disciplined, for they shall inherit the earth. It's the disciplined who inherit everything on God's green earth. All the blessings come to the disciplined. They elude and escape the others. They never enter into it. Oh, they get little taste from time to time, and it really looks like the undisciplined sometime are going to do something, but they back out, and they fall by the wayside before they ever enter into the victory. How sad it is. Are you disciplined today? Are you living a disciplined life unto the Lord? Now, I'm not asking you if you're go to work on time, although that's important. And I'm not asking you if you can assume certain responsibility, but I mean discipline unto the Lord with the purpose of bringing your life under His control so that He can release in you His best and then can use you in a marvelous way. Are you? Not more than 5 out of 100 people could call themselves disciplined. How about you today? I want to talk today about 5 aspects of discipline. We'll let them all begin with a P, so you won't forget them. First of all, I want us to think of the priority of discipline. There are many ingredients which go into the making of a victorious and useful Christian life. For instance, consistent Bible reading, consistent prayer, consistent soul winning, hilarious giving, faithful attendance in the services of the family of God, holy living, all these things. But had you ever stopped to realize that you can do none of these things effectively and powerfully unless you're disciplined? Discipline must precede these things. Now, these things within themselves are discipline. But discipline is an attitude. It's an outlook on life. And without discipline, you'll never be a great prayer warrior. You'll never be a great Bible student. You certainly will never be a great soul winner. You'll never be a great servant in the house of God. You simply cannot be without spiritual discipline, without living under authority. Now, when Jesus called His first followers, the first thing He said to them was not, "If you would be My disciple, be a prayer warrior, or be a great Bible student, or be a great soul winner even." Jesus said, the first word He spoke to them, and I'm quoting from Luke 9:23, "If anyone chooses to be My disciple, let him deny self," or let him say no to self, "and bring his life under the authority of the cross and follow Me." Now, once one does this, then he can enter into the very spiritual disciplines which make the life, prayer, Bible study, soul winning, holy living, service in the church, and whatever, but it must begin with discipline. Are you disciplined? This is the first thing in the Christian life that would really be successful and happy and useful. Discipline. Are you disciplined? But there's a second thing I want us to note about it, and that is the painfulness of discipline. Now, I want to say to you that the happiest people on earth are disciplined. And the most miserable people on earth are undisciplined. Young people, if you want to really be happy, discipline your life. If you want to be fulfilled, if you want to accomplish and know you're accomplishing, be disciplined. But at the outset, discipline is not easy. And in one sense, There is a price to pay as long as you live. There are some things that don't come natural. And the reason that discipline is so painful and so difficult is because it is not doing that which comes naturally. You see, we live in an age that says if it feels good, do it. Well, sometimes discipline doesn't feel too good. And the Bible tells us about this all the time on every page. We're told that Christianity is not a feeling, and we're not to try to look for something to excite us or to make us feel good. That's not Christianity, you see. You see, discipline is departing from the path of least resistance to walk the path of the most resistance. As Stephen Olford says, it's taking the high road rather than the low road. And this is not easy, and yet it's the only way. To do the other way is to come into misery and disarray in your life. And you come to the place that you wouldn't go any other way. When you try discipline and you build it in your life and you have a lifestyle, you'd never go the other way. Never, no matter what it costs. Never, you'd never do it. Now let me illustrate it. First of all, we need to discipline our bodies. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he says, I am beating and bruising my body and making it my slave. Now the point is that unless we make our body our slave and to serve us, we will become slaves of our body. How many people you think are slaves to their body this morning? Oh, it's a tragedy, the number of people who are slaves to their body. Think of the people who are slaves to food and idols, who are slaves to alcohol, slaves to tobacco, or if none of these habits, just slaves to a slipshod, undisciplined life. Laziness. Just doing about what you want to with no real order and no real plan in your life. And the body falling into this pattern. Unless we consciously bring our body under control in this sensual, permissive age in which we're living, we will be slaves. Paul says, I'm constantly beating and bruising my body and making it my slave. Are you doing that today? If you're going to be disciplined, you've got to do it constantly. Not once, but constantly. And then think about the mind. Oh, the mind, the disciplined mind. That's the most powerful thing in the world is a disciplined mind. One of the greatest tragedies in the world is that literally millions of people refuse to use their mind until they're incapable of using their mind. If you do not use your mind, you will lose your mind. And I don't mean you'll go to an insane asylum, but unless you discipline your mind, you'll come to the place you can't think, and your mind will be a burden to you rather than one of the greatest things that God has given you. But if you'll discipline your mind, the older you get, the more you can learn, and the more you enjoy learning, and your mind becomes one of the most exciting things in the world. And that's where God does His great work in the Christian life, is in the mind. It's the person who has the mind who can understand the Bible. It's the person who has the mind who's the effective soul winner. It's the person who has the mind who can teach that Sunday school class, who can sing in the choir, who can serve God, because he has a mind that's been sanctified by the Spirit and not been made lazy, but willing to take the challenge of the Lord. What a wonderful thing the mind is. Discipline. Is your mind disciplined? And then, of course, the discipline of the Spirit. You say, well, I'm born again. Fine. But what's going to happen to your spirit if it's not disciplined? You know what's going to happen? Take a person who doesn't discipline that spirit, and in just a matter of years, he will do good to sit in a pew. He won't be a soul winner. There'll be no living faith in his heart. He'll do well to attend the services of the church unless he has a spiritual regimen a spiritual discipline that requires something of him on a continuing basis until it's a lifestyle in his life. What do I mean by that? I mean to say there must be a discipline of prayer. There must be a time to pray. There must be a discipline of Bible study. Now, you don't automatically do these things. Unless you're disciplined, what did the man tell us the other night at prayer meeting? The average Christian prays 1 minute a day, and the average preacher 6 minutes a day. I would never pray anymore. I'd certainly never win another soul if I didn't discipline myself to do it. Are you listening? I would never win another soul if I didn't discipline myself to do it because I don't have time. The undisciplined mind will never find time to do the great and wonderful things of the Lord. But you have time if you discipline yourself and you brought yourself under the authority of the Lord. And then to discipline ourselves in service, that's a discipline. To discipline ourselves in attending church, that's a discipline. To discipline ourselves in meditation, the quiet time, fasting. Discipline. The discipline of the Spirit until it will be a built-in part of your life that you would never think of living without. That's the way we have to live if we're going to have any power with God, if we're going to continue advancing with God. And let me tell you, those of you who are in the middle age syndrome and beyond, listen, you don't have to be dead and you don't have to be unexcited. I'm telling you, the disciplined person is always excited because he's met God and he's found power in life. Discipline is painful for the time, but out of it come such benefits that no man who's ever tried it, no young person who's ever tried it, would ever go in the other direction. Now, there's a third thing I want to say about it. And that's the principles of discipline. And this describes more about the cost of it. We're talking about walking God's way and not man's way. Of taking the high road rather than the low road. We have to make our choice. Whether we're going to take the high road or the low road. And of course, the natural thing to do is to live by the thrills for the moment. To live for pleasure. To live for convenience. The shortcut, the easy way, the lazy way, the sleepy man's way. That's the attitude, of course, and that's built into us. That came with the fall of man. That's a part of our predicament. That's a result of sin. But what does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us there's a better way. The Bible says, don't build your life on the temporary thrill. The things that feel good. But to build it on eternal principles and truth. Build it on truth. And when you build it on truth, you've got a foundation that'll never fail you. And it won't fail you when you get old. It'll not fail you in the hour of distress. Because a part of discipline is the discipline of suffering and emergency. A disciplined person can face death. A disciplined person can face a tragedy in the family. A disciplined person can go to graduate school and get his degree. He can write a dissertation. A disciplined person can do anything. An undisciplined person can't do anything. God never intended any of us as human beings to be undisciplined. What are some of the principles I'm talking about? If you're to live a disciplined life, you must live by faith and not by feeling. Sometimes it just doesn't feel good to enter into the spiritual disciplines that God requires of us. It doesn't feel good to lose an hour of sleep in the morning in order to be with God and pray. It feels better for the moment to stay in that bed. Which is more important, an hour in that bed or a life of courage, of motivation, of joy throughout the whole day when you leave that place of prayer? You see, the lazy man misses it up and down the line. He just cannot succeed. That's written into the universe. Often we don't feel like going into a home and witnessing. if we're going to wait until we feel like it will never be soul winners. Are you listening? Don't listen to these people who always tell you they're on a spiritual high and they could shout and do everything when they're doing the work of the God. There's not a word to it. They're not doing the work of God. People who are really the soldiers of the cross are people who go when it would feel better to stay home and look at television. I do it. I'm telling you. You can't go by feeling. What do you go by? By the Word of the Lord. And the Word says to pray. The Word says to discipline. The Word says to witness. The Word says to be consistent. The Word says to be in church. The Word says be obedient unto God. And whether I feel like it or not, I'm under the authority of the Word, not my feelings. And when I follow the Word, I'll have all the feeling that I need. And I will have victory and I'll have joy in my life. And I'll be effective with people because God has promised to give to me His best when I give myself to Him. So if you're going to live by feeling, you can just forget discipline. You've got to get beyond that. You've got to get your eyes on the Word of God. And then if you would discipline yourself, you must live by convictions rather than convenience. Let me tell you something. It's almost never convenient to do what you ought to do in this world. Are you listening? It just isn't convenient. Especially those high spiritual disciplines which God puts such premium on. It's just not convenient to spend a lot of time in prayer and in the Bible. And let me tell you something. Sunday school teachers, deacons, yoke fellows, members of the staff, choir members, anybody, would you like to be used in winning people to Jesus Christ? You will never be a consistent soul winner until you discipline time. Monday night, 2 or 3 hours here. I just got on Monday night. Thursday night. I would never go into another home if I didn't sanctify some time unto God. Every believer should sanctify time unto God every day to pray and to read the Bible and at least once a week to get into the homes where people are to tell them the message of Jesus Christ. We can't do it unless we're disciplined. We cannot do it. There'll always be things that will come in. It's just not convenient to do what God has commanded us to do. But if I have conviction of the lostness of man and that I, to be obedient, must go, then I go gladly, and I go not because it's a convenience, because it's a conviction that I'm walking in the truth. There's another principle. If you're going to be disciplined today, you've got to follow godly principles rather than your peers. You'll be mighty lonely on the road of discipline. There are very few people who really pay the price today in being disciplined. You'll be criticized. People will call you fanatics. People will say this is uncalled for. Oh, who'd get up at 5 o'clock? Who'd get up at 6 o'clock to come to a prayer meeting down here at the church? You see, it looks foolish. Who would deny himself something in order to be with God? You do not follow your peers. You follow Jesus if you're going to be disciplined. And then if you're going to be disciplined, you've got to depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit rather than your own willpower. Now, some of us have more will than others, but I'm telling you, I'm not just talking about a natural type of dedication. I'm talking about supernatural power to discipline the life. And the greatest disciplinarian in the world is the Holy Spirit. We have the promise of the Lord that if we will walk in the Spirit, that we would never fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Holy Spirit will keep us on the spiritual ball. How in the world are you going to do this day after day? How are you going to pray? How are you going to read your Bible day after day? How are you going to go into homes week after week? How are you going to teach that Sunday school class? Be in the worship service. How are you going to do that? I can tell you exactly how you're going to do it. Ask the Holy Spirit to flow through your life. He'll flow through any life that he's in if we really give him
that permission. He'll do that, and He'll discipline the life up and down the line if we'll let it, the Holy Spirit. But then one of the greatest principles is this. What's your purpose? What's your purpose in life? You know what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:26? He says, I do not run the race aimlessly or without a purpose. He says, I've got my eye on a goal. What is the goal in your life? Is it just to have a good time and an easy time right now? If so, how foolish we are living for the moment rather than for the future and rather for the older age and rather for eternity. So many people are just going without purpose. Listen, you get your eye on God's purpose. And that purpose is that you will be utterly usable in His hand. That you'll have power in your life. That your life will be under His control until people can trust you. Until God can trust you. When people can trust you and God can trust you, the Holy Spirit will trust you and use you mightily. But until this happens, you'll never be used of God. And it's built upon the purpose of God, having a purpose that God wants me to do this. I'm willing to pay the price. No matter what it is, I'm willing to pray. It's more than my just temporary ease and fun. Two men looked down from Mars and they saw the people on planet Earth and they were just scurrying here and there and going everywhere. One man said to the other, what are they doing? And he says, they're just going. And the man said, but where are they going? And the other fellow said, well, they're not going anywhere, really. They're just going. Oh, the sad thing of just being going. Just doing what comes to mind. Doing what comes naturally. Just going our own little way. Not stopping to realize that God has a glorious purpose. The goal's down yonder. We've got to run the race with care and with discipline if we're ever going to meet that goal. Just can't do it with an undisciplined mind. Are you building your life upon God's great purpose, or are you living for pleasure, and are you living for that which satisfies you for the moment, but which will be gone, but will leave your life bankrupt, and you will spend most of your life in bankruptcy of soul before God and man, when your life could be a mighty tree flourishing unto the Lord now and forever? We have to decide. I want to talk now in the fourth place about the power of a disciplined life. How do we do it? You say, well, just make up our mind. Well, you can do that, but I don't think. If you're thinking about a lifestyle of discipline, I don't believe there's anybody in the world that can do it apart from the power of the cross. We're talking about something that is contrary to our nature. Jesus says, if any man chooses to follow me, let him say no to self. And let him bring his life under the authority of the cross, and then he can follow me. What does it mean to say no to self or to deny self? Well, it certainly doesn't mean to hate yourself. Young people, don't hate yourself. Don't ever have a bad self-image. That is unscriptural to believe that. You're beautiful. You're of infinite worth to the Lord. But the Bible says to say no to self. What does that mean? To say no to our selfish plans and purposes. Living a slipshod, non-purposeful life, just living for the flesh rather than for the great purpose for which He made us. Well, where do we get that power? The cross of Jesus. In the cross, He has broken this terrible selfishness and undisciplined nature we have and placed within us purpose and power to live unto Him and for His glory. And when we talk about disciplined living, we're talking about a fruit of Christ's cross. We're talking about a victory which we can only win in Him. Now our text says that God gives us discipline. Well, while He gives it to us, we have to learn it. That's what Jesus taught. You don't just automatically enter into it. You've got to learn it.
but God gives it. And this sometimes indicates a process, and it doesn't worry me if someone is struggling with it, provided they're winning it. It's when they've just given up or they're not doing anything about it. I have no doubt in my mind that God will make any person that I'm talking to today a beautifully disciplined person if that person wants to be disciplined. But we've got to want it more than to want our other values in life. We've got to want discipline more than anything. Because the way of the cross, while it's always the way of victory and of joy, for the time being, it can be bitter. It certainly is against our nature. Against our nature. But in that cross, there is the power to discipline any life. There's not a life here today that can't be disciplined. You said, but my daddy was undisciplined. My mother was undisciplined. I wasn't taught discipline. I don't care what you were taught. God has given unto His people the spirit of discipline. You can discipline your life in the power of God and in the power of the cross. It's just a matter of wanting it and being willing to do it and seeing the importance of it in your life. And that moves me to my final point, and that is the person of discipline. You know who He is. Jesus. You look at the life of Jesus, and what do you see? You see a totally disciplined life. That's the reason it's so beautiful. You don't see any inconsistency in it. You see a person who lived under the authority of the Father completely. Did He do some things that were hard to do and painful to do? He tells us all the time about them. He shares with us the tremendous struggle in His flesh. He says in John 6:38, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Jesus was disciplined. He says, my life is under authority. He lived under authority. And who is Jesus today? He's Lord. He's Lord. Who's Lord? He's the Christian's Lord. What is He Lord of? He's Lord of everything. Listen, if He's Lord of your body, can't you discipline your body? I don't care, my friends, how ingrained habits are. I don't care what they are. Jesus is Lord over every habit. Jesus is Lord over every week. Jesus is Lord over laziness. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord over this body. He's Lord. And He wants to make us masters of our body so He can move in and use them as a tremendous instrument for His glory. Don't you ever cop out. Don't you ever say, I have to do it. Don't you ever say, I got it from my mom and dad. Don't you ever say it if you're a Christian. He's Lord. He's Lord. And He wants you to make a slave of that body and put it in harness for Him today. And if it's to get up early, listen, He has the power to get you right out of that bed and get you on your knees. To get you in that home, to be consistent in service and to walk with Him in a way that He has confidence in you and also people. Lord. And He's Lord of your mind. Nothing in the world so beautiful as a mind under the control of the Holy Spirit. And what He puts in the mind is unbelievable. The way He teaches us is through our mind. And the way He sanctifies us is through our mind. He changes our life through our mind as we discipline it. He can't do it if it's undisciplined. And then the spiritual disciplines which He brings in life, He will enable us to discipline ourselves in prayer and in Bible study. He'll enable us to discipline ourselves in meditation. And I can tell you more and more people He's leading into fasting. He's Lord. He's Lord. And really, He's never Lord of my life or yours until I'm disciplined. It's easy enough, you see, to have a mystical experience and say He's Lord Lord means authority. Lord means specific authority, not just general authority. Authority where it costs you. Authority in the details of your life. Authority where you live. Authority all the time. Authority in your life. And as it touches you. Authority in the difficult areas of life. He's Lord. Praise His name. Have you brought your life under His Lordship? I ask you this morning. Is your life disciplined? Are you really under the control of the Lord and you have these spiritual disciplines in your life? That's opening your life for the best He has for you. And where He can trust you and use you with people in a marvelous way. You say, well, I've thought about it a lot. I've even struggled. I've set patterns at a time. And then I go back. Well, come back to it today. Do you really want to be disciplined? Do you really want to be disciplined? You've got to start with a deep desire. If you want to, that's the open door that will lead you into a life of discipline. I pray today that you'll look at your life and you'll realize what your life can be disciplined. It's unbelievable. Absolutely fantastic. You take the young men in our church, the young women in our church, the wonderful people in our church, the greatest spirits I've ever seen in my life, but listen, so many undisciplined. And therefore no power. And therefore no great miracle in their lives. Some are. Many are not. Oh, I ask you today to look at your life. I ask you today to discipline that life. For the Lord, for others, it'll be the greatest thing that's ever happened.